Councillors and staff, members of the gallery, I declare the meeting opened at 2 minutes past six on the 23rd of June, Monday, ordinary council meeting. Can I please ask that you stand for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Just remind councillors of their oath and or affirmation of office under section 223A of the Local Government Act. I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to their elders both past and present. I note that the meetings of the council and council committees are audio recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of meeting minutes and promoting public transparency, and they are promptly made available for public review via the council website. I also note there are no apologies this evening. Do I have any declarations of interest from councillors? I note no declarations of interest. Any declarations of political donations? I note there are no declarations of political donations. Can I have a mover for the confirmation of the minutes for the 20th of May 2025? It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Batta. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare it carried. Councillors, you would have received two mayoral minutes for tonight's meeting, and I apologise they didn't make it in time for the council meeting papers, the one being for in memory of Gladys Barnes, and the other one obviously is the tragic news that I received on Sunday morning regarding Charles Casaselli. So my minute in memory of Gladys Barnes is I'd like to just take a moment to acknowledge and honour the life and contribution of Gladys Barnes, who some of you or many of you would have actually met through our council events and here at council, a remarkable woman whose legacy continues to be felt in the Burwood community and through our ongoing remembrance of Sandakan. Gladys's connection to Sandakan was deeply personal. Her father, Ralph Shields, died as a prisoner of war during World War II, and she dedicated much of her life to preserving his memory and the memory of all those who made the ultimate sacrifice. As a founding member of Burwood's Sandakan Community Education Committee, Gladys played an instrumental role in establishing and sustaining the annual Sandakan Memorial Service. For many years, she laid a wreath with great dignity and commitment, a tradition that held deep significance for her and served as a reminder to all of us of the cost of war and the importance of remembrance. Gladys was also an active and cherished member of our wider community. She was an accomplished lawn bowler, known for her warm nature and willingness to connect with others. Her presence, particularly at our annual memorial, will be missed, but her legacy endures. In recognition of Gladys's enduring contribution, I have spoken to the committee, the Sandakan committee, and every year when I was at the service, I would remember Gladys would actually come up to lay a wreath with me, and she would actually grab my arm and I'd help escort her up, and she would whisper in my ear, "Mr. Mayor, do you mind if I go around the memorial to lay the wreath where my father's name is?" Council will ensure that a wreath is laid in her honour each year at the Sandakan Memorial. placed at the site of her father's name. This gesture will serve as a continuing tribute to her dedication and the deep personal connection that she maintained with the important chapter of our shared history. On behalf of Council, I acknowledge with gratitude the life and service of Gladys Barnes. May her memory continue to inspire and may she rest in peace. I therefore move that Council send condolences to the family via a floral tribute. I'll put them in at all those in favour. Sorry, I should ask, does anyone else wish to speak? Can I get some tissues, Finn? Put them in at all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Thanks, George. Now, also on Sunday, I was deeply saddened to hear of the sudden passing of Charles Casselli, RFD, Chief Executive Officer of the Western Sydney Regional Organisation of Councils and former State Member for Stratfield. Charles was appointed CEO of WestRock in 2015 and remained a tireless and passionate advocate for Western Sydney throughout his tenure. His leadership, commitment, and unwavering belief in the region's potential were evident in everything he did. Before joining WestRock, Charles served as the member for Stratfield in the New South Wales Parliament from 2011 to 2015, where he made valuable contributions through various committees, including as chair of Transport and Infrastructure. Over the years, we worked closely on many local matters. I had the opportunity to actually catch up with Charles just a month ago at a luncheon, a moment I will now cherish. Although we sat on opposite sides of politics, we shared a respectful friendship built on a common passion for serving our communities and advocating for Western Sydney, as well as food and stories. Charles brought a wealth of experience to every role he held. A former Army officer, he continued serving in the Army Reserve, receiving the Reserve Forces Decoration, RFD, and contributed as a defence liaison officer. His leadership extended across roles in transport and logistics, including senior positions with the New South Wales Roads and Traffic Authority and NRMA. He was also a proud member of several local clubs and remained deeply connected to his Italian heritage and to Western Sydney, a region he championed throughout his life. We acknowledge and honour the meaningful work Charles has done for our area, and we extend our deepest condolences to his wife, Maria, and the entire Casselli family. Our thoughts are with them at this difficult time. Rest in peace, my friend. I will cherish our memories and especially your humour. I therefore move that Council send condolences to the family via a floral tribute. Put them in at all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Can I ask that we now stand for a minute's silence in honour of Charles and Gladys on their passing? Thank you. And thanks for your patience there. And I guess one of the great things about, you know, being in these roles and being in public life is you get to meet some beautiful people who, you know, whether you on the same side of politics or not, or through community, you end up becoming good friends and cherish good memories. And I guess that's one of the positives of being in public life. Now we might move on to the first report of the council, which is item 28/25, which is the integrated planning and reporting documents for adoption. So I have a mover. Moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Yang. Speakers for, against, I'll put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, I'll declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 29/25, is the draft creative build strategy 25 to 2035. Moved by Councillor Batter, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 30/25, which is the draft build reflect reconciliation action plan for adoption. It's been moved by Councillor Batter, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is the draft 2025 fraud and corruption control policy. It's been moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 31/25, which is a draft walking and cycling plan, be moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. And we've got 33/25. It's draft complaints management policy, being moved by Councillor Batter, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 35/25 investment report. It's been moved by Councillor Batter, seconded by Councillor Wu. Put the motion. All those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item RC625, which is the Build Local Traffic Committee. It's been moved. Councillor.
Yes, I just have a question in relation to that item, Mr. Mayor.
I'm just going to move it in a second, first, then we'll go into question. Did you wish to move, or you'd wait for someone else to move and then?
Yeah, I'll move it if you like. So I also have a question.
Sorry, just before I get into that, 34/25, I'm a bit out of sorts today, so I missed a couple of reports, which is the New South Wales Local Government Remuneration Tribunal. Moved by Councillor Yang, seconded by Councillor Manor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare it carried unanimously. Sorry, Councillor Hull. So you're happy to move that report with a second or with a question, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
So it's been moved by Councillor Hull, seconded by Councillor Batter. Councillor Hull, your question.
I just have a question. It's slightly off topic, but I note there is an item there dealing with Paisley Road in Croydon in respect of parking. I just wanted to raise a slightly different matter. I've received a number of complaints about a wrecked caravan on Paisley Road, which you're no doubt aware of. There's a, you know, it's obviously surrounded by police tape. It's obviously been smashed up, and the wreck is protruding onto the road, so that it becomes necessary when you're travelling towards the station to actually swerve around onto the opposite side of the road in order to avoid the wreck. Just wanted to ask, what is council doing about that to remove it? And, you know, is there any advice you can provide, or that a council officer can provide through yourself, Mr. Mayor, about council's proposed actions in removing that wreck?
Thanks, Councillor. I'll hand over to to Brooke.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So an order has been served to the owner, and the owner is pursuing insurance. They have until Thursday to remove. We have also gone and independently sought. We've had a tow truck out there today. It can't be moved. It has to be disassembled disassembled on site. It's all packed onto a flat truck. So we're currently working with the owner up until me coming down here this afternoon. We're trying to get a response. We understand that there's many complaints that have arisen, that we can get some action prior to Thursday because it's too long. So we are working on that, but they do have until that time. If we can get a resolution before that, that's what we're working towards to get it off the road for tomorrow.
Just a follow-up question to that. If the owner has not complied by Thursday's deadline with council's directions, what are the consequences of that?
Yeah, so they will be issued a fine, which is $2,200. However, the cost of taking it off the road would be more than that for us. I suppose at this point in time, it's not about the consequences, but it's about actually getting an action on the ground for the community. But they would be issued with a fine for non-compliance with the order.
Just on that follow-up, Brooke, firstly, I think we've just got to have a look at what, I mean, for future cases. I mean, I guess this one's happened now. But surely if there's something that's half blocking the road, there's got to be some form of emergency power. Maybe we can get some legal advice of how we can act quicker rather than go through an impoundment type process. Because I travel on that road quite a bit, and like Councillor Hull, I've had a range of questions from residents about it. And my issue with it is that, especially of an evening, it's not very visible. If you get someone who doesn't have the best of eyesight, you know, is driving or is not paying attention, will actually run straight into it, because at the moment you actually have to partly go on the other side of the road to go around what's there. So I guess my question is, can we at least look at what powers in the future we could look at to, and you don't need to answer that one. However, my other question is, and touching on Councillor Hull's question, is not just the consequences. What happens after Thursday? We don't hear anything. Like on Friday, can we have a truck there removing it, or do we have to go through another 2-week process?
We will do that. Okay. We will remove it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I'll put the report, RC 625. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Notice of motions. Now we've got three notice of motions. Then we've got to go into a closed session regarding the outcome of the property acquisition. So, Councillor Batter, your notice of motion regarding strengthening international relations with Nepal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So just would like to table the notice of motion in relation to strengthening international relations with Nepal. Burwood has a rich and diverse cultural heritage shaped by both long-established and emerging communities. In recent years, the Nepalese community has become the fastest-growing cultural group within the Burwood local government area. According to the 2021 census, 7.6% of Burwood residents, 3,060 people, were born in Nepal, well above the 1.1% average for Greater Sydney. The significant demographic presence reflects the increasing importance of the Nepalese community in shaping the cultural and the social fabric of Burwood. Since 2022, major Nepalese festivals and cultural events have relocated to Burwood, and several Nepalese community organizations have established their base in the area to better serve and connect with the local residents. These developments reflect Burwood's growing role as a hub for the Nepalese diaspora in Sydney. Recent discussions with the community members, Nepalese community organizations, and the Honorable Consul of Nepal to New South Wales have expressed interest in developing closer ties between Burwood and Nepal, particularly Kathmandu Metropolitan City. As Nepal's capital and the largest city, Kathmandu is the political, economic, and cultural center of the country. Like Burwood, it is a vibrant and densely populated urban center where diverse communities converge, small businesses thrive, community and cultural life is valued, and a strong sense of place is balanced with the need for urban growth. Kathmandu Valley is also a UNESCO World Heritage Site, internationally recognized for its commitment to heritage preservation, as reflected in its 7 monumental zones. With Burwood's own emphasis on heritage protection, there is a further potential for mutual learning and collaboration. These shared values and characteristics provide a strong sense, a strong basis for exploring collaboration opportunities or a potential sister-city relationship. Such a connection could foster mutual understanding, cultural exchange, economic opportunities, and community engagement for the benefit of our residents. This motion also reflects the aspirations embedded in BOD's recently revised 2036 Community Strategic Plan vision, global spirit, local heart. BOD is a welcoming community, proud of its past, shaped by its diverse people, and connected to the world. Therefore, I would like to move that the council investigate collaboration opportunities and the feasibility of a potential sister city relationship with the Kathmandu Metropolitan City, Nepal, including an assessment of potential benefits aligned with the council's strategic objectives and relevant policies and resource implications. Consult with relevant stakeholders, including council's multicultural advisory committees, community groups, businesses, and educational institutions to gauge support and identify collaboration opportunities, and prepare a report outlining the findings and recommendations for council's consideration at a future meeting. Therefore, the recommendations are that the council investigate the collaboration opportunities and the feasibility of a potential sister city relationship with the Kathmandu Metropolitan City, Nepal, including an assessment of potential benefits alignment with the council's strategic objectives and relevant policies and resource implications. Number two, consult with relevant stakeholders, including council's multicultural advisory committee, community groups, businesses, and educational institutions to gauge support and identify collaboration opportunities. And number three, prepare a report outlining the findings and recommendations for council's consideration at a future meeting. Thank you.
Do I have a seconder? For, it's been seconded by Councillor Manor. Did you wish to speak? Councillor Batten?
No, that's it for now. Thank you.
Councillor Manor? Any other speakers? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is, and well done, Councillor Batten, sorry. Should have spoken on it, but one of those meetings. Anyway, talk later. Notice of motion 4/25 supporting culturally and linguistically diverse food businesses in Burwood. So it's been moved by Councillor Yang. I've got to get a seconder first, then we'll talk. It's been seconded by Councillor Batten. Now, Councillor Yang, did you wish to speak or read your motion? Notice.
I would like to table a motion to support the diverse food businesses. Burwood, because now Burwood has the reason why I want to put up this motion is because Burwood now has become part of the destination New South Wales, one of the places for people to visit. And secondly, Burwood is the fifth diverse LGA in New South Wales. And I think that's very important for us to strengthen and support these small business people in our LGA. And I also have to thank the council staff as well of keeping a program to be responsive in terms of going out to talk to business owners and how to maintain those hygiene procedures. But I would like the council to explore more opportunities and provide more supports because we do have a high rotations where new business will come in and people often don't know and want some more information about it. Therefore, I want to put up, therefore, I think that in terms of the operational plan object to undertake schedules and responsive inspections of cooling towers and water systems, food, health, beauty, and cosmetic permissions to identify and respond to risk, and also to deliver campaigns to provide initiative to support the health of food permissions. And then I want to move that the council prepare a report outlining a plan for expanded multilingual food safety education and support programs for local businesses, including budget considerations, possible partnerships with multicultural organization and business support networks, and report back to the council by the August of 2025. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Yang. Councillor Batten, did you wish to speak? Any other speakers? Speaks against. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. I notice of motion 5/25, which is offering the residential 240 litre waste service, has been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Batten. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Manor, or read out your... Oh, thank you.
Briefly read...
Just press your mic on.
Sorry, I'll just read the summary on this residential 240 waste services. We had some discussion last meeting and my fellow councillor Hull is concerned, and so I felt the same way, and some of the other councillors felt the same as well. So with the increasing cost of living and the housing shortage across Sydney, many families are choosing to build secondary dwellings or renovate existing homes to accommodate their children and ageing parents. In some instances, families are in need of additional waste disposal capacity and are applying to council for additional bins. Council currently provides households with a 120-litre waste bin, a 240-litre recycling bin, and a 240-litre green waste bin. Council current practice and exhibited fees and charges allow residential properties to apply for a second 120-litre bin for $916. However, residential flat buildings would be able to apply for an additional 240-litre bin for $1,069. The cost difference for the additional bin capacity appears disproportionate, which is of concern. Whilst I recognise the need to reduce household waste generation and waste going to landfill, it is important that Council supports the need for changing households during current economic pressures. I also note that providing households with an additional 120 litre bin takes additional space, both within properties and on the curbside during bin collection day. I would therefore propose that council current secondary bin allocation and exhibited fees and charges be amended to allow residential properties to request that their 120 litre waste bin be substituted by a single 240 litre waste bin, rather than limiting them to requesting an additional 120 litre waste bin. I also propose that the fee be reviewed and redistributed between residential properties and residential flat buildings. So I move, and also as per recommendation, one, residential properties be permitted to apply for an increased waste bin capacity in the form of a single 240 litre bin, rather than having to request a second 120 litre waste bin. And two, staff review the 2025-26 fees and charges for increased waste bin capacity provided to residential properties compared with residential flat buildings.
Thank you, Councillor Mann.
Thank you.
Councillor Badger, you seconded that, didn't you? Did you want to second that, Councillor Hull, because you raised it?
I'm happy to second it. Yeah, I'm happy to second it.
Did you want to withdraw your...
Sure, Will.
So we'll give, because you raised it too. Sorry, Councillor Hull, I should have probably...
It was, yeah.
So
it
is... seconded by you, and did you wish to speak?
I'll just make a couple of brief remarks. I'll thank Councillor Manor for drafting this motion, actually, because it does seem to address the concerns that I raised at the, I think, last briefing we had here. And I do note the motion does acknowledge that there is a community desire, a community need, really, to access an option to have for residents, that is, as opposed to flat units and similar dwellings, to have the option of a larger 240 litre waste bin. Currently, that option doesn't exist for residents in single dwellings. And I think that does recognise a need that the community would like to access. And secondly, there is a disparity in the fees for an additional 120 litre waste bin as opposed to the fee that is being charged for flats and units for a 240 litre waste bin. I think I I look forward to the review by council officers of the fee, and hopefully an equitable fee can be arrived at for residents who wish in the future to access a 240 litre bin instead of a second 120 litre bin. So I think the motion more or less addresses my concerns, and I think there is that need to address the fees as well, which the motion does address. So thank you for
thank
that, Councillor Manor, and happy to second it.
Thanks, Councillor Howell. Any other speakers? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. I'd now like to have a mover that we go into a closed session because we have a closed session report. It's been moved by Councillor Wu, seconded by Councillor Esper. And the reason we are going into closed session is to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with Section 10A2CD of the Local Government Act 1993, as the matter involves information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person who with whom the council is conducting business. Any objections from the gallery? I note there's no objection. I'll put the motion to go into closed session. All of those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Can I just remind you to keep your mics resolution?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So just recording for item 36/25, outcome of property acquisition that council endorsed to note the successful outcome of the property acquisition of 31 and 33 Burwood Road, Burwood, for $17 million and the funding strategy to complete the acquisition, as well as to resolve to classify the land at 31 and 33 Burwood Road, Burwood, as operational land.
Thank you, Mr. General Manager. There being no further business, I'll declare the meeting closed at 6:47 p.m. and thank you for your attendance.